Good morning to all. So you can, everybody can see the pastor's away. He texted me. He actually sent out a text Tuesday night saying, can anybody fill the pulpit Sunday morning? And I guess I was the first one to respond. So I get the task. I enjoy it. You know, I got up yesterday morning and got on the on my neighbor's tractor. I've been doing some work on my neighbor's farm for him, and I was out aerating the land. And yes, of course, it's been so hot and dry. And you know, when you're on a tractor by yourself, you've got plenty of time to think. You've got plenty of time to just wonder about things and why things happen and why they don't happen and why this is what you think is right and what you think is wrong and all these things. And I have a tendency when I'm working that aerator, I always look behind me to make sure I haven't hit something. Because with those big spikes, really can't tell because there's so much weight on that thing. And I just happen to look back like this, and all of a sudden I see this little puff of smoke. I don't know how many of you were home yesterday afternoon, but the next thing you probably heard about 2 o'clock were sirens. Because I sparked a rock and set the field on fire. My neighbor's field, by the way, not mine, his. And I called Jackie Travis. I said, Jackie, I said, guess what? The field's on fire. And I called 911, and, you know, thank the good Lord, they got there within about 5 or 6 minutes. And what could have been absolutely positively disastrous wasn't. And I'm grateful to God for that. You know, when I first got there yesterday, the tractor had a flat tire on it. And it's one of those old kind that doesn't have the lug nuts with the screws on it. It's the kind that you have to unscrew and stick back in manually, and you have to set it just right or it won't set. So I spent probably 25 minutes getting it back on because, first of all, I'm no longer a young man. And those tractor tires are really heavy, and it's dead weight. And when I finally, you know, I just kept saying, Lord, I got to get this tractor tire on. I got to get this done. And it's like the answer kept saying, well, you know what? We just got to purse a little bit more here. Just give me time. And finally, I got it put on. So like I said, I got started. And this thought came to me, and I told Brother Chester a while ago, my memory is not what it used to be. Used to, I could remember, I could hear something and it would just kind of just stay in my thought process for a while. But it doesn't do that anymore. But I have this written down on my Bible at home and I thought about this after all that happened to me yesterday. And I'd already prepared the message for today about the significance of our faith. And we will be out of the book of 1 Peter, a few verses here today, just going through a few verses. But this thought came to my mind that I heard many years ago. As I was praying about getting this tractor tire back on, this thought came to my mind. Prayer is more than a wish turned heavenward. It is the voice of faith directed Godward. And I thought about that. You know, that there's just so much truth in that. And, you know, Brother Chester and I were talking a while ago about our faith. And you know, folks, faith that is not tested is not faith. If your faith is not tested, then you just don't know how far you can go, do you? Now, the Lord knows how far we can go. But until your faith is tested, truly tested, you don't know how strong spiritually you are. And our responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is to grow in what? To grow in faith. That's our responsibility. That's one of the responsibilities that we have once we become born-again believers in Jesus Christ, is to grow in faith. You know, when things happen and they're going to happen, just like it did me yesterday, you have to recall and upon your reserve, and you have to tighten the reins, and you have to just trust God that he knows exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it. Now, I have no clue why he made that tire be flat, and I have no clue why he had me have such a hard time getting it on. But eventually, you know, through resilience, everything got done. And that's only because of the power of God. And, you know, and I stand before you this morning, not in my power, but in his power. In his strength, I stand before you with faith in him to present this message. Not me. All I'm going to be, folks, is the voice. He's the messenger. He's the message. It's absolutely, positively all about him. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we survey the cross this morning, as we point out a few things of how significant our faith is and how faith is so important to live the Christian life. Because, Father, you tell us in your word, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, Father, we trust in you this morning. Father, we trust in the message that you will bring, using us as your voice. Father, I pray for those this morning that are having troubles within their lives. Father, truly, our daily lives at times become a struggle. It's a grind. But Father, it's a grind that we gladly accept because we have a Savior that knows the answer to all of our problems. So Father, we pray this morning for that one that's here also that has never trusted you as their Savior. Father, may the words that we say this morning inspire their heart. Father, may your Holy Spirit work in their lives even now, begin a good work in them. Father, I pray this morning that you give us words to say that you want us to say to these people here today. Thank you so much for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the calmness that you give each of us because of who you are and what you have done and what you continue to do in each of our lives. Thank you again for Jesus, for it's in his name that we pray and always for his sake. Amen. You know, as I first started thinking about this, you know, I was talking to Brother Dennis a while ago. You know, when I first got involved with the truck stop ministry here, I didn't know what to expect because being involved in that, and Brother Dennis and Brother Josh can also attest to this, you meet quite a few interesting characters in your travels and stuff, you know, and then and in their travels. And, you know, you think about how to present the gospel. You know, how do I present it and make it to where even a child can understand it? And when we talk about our faith, we talk about the fact that it takes childlike trust to have faith. Because children trust their parents, they trust their caregivers to do what's best for them. And I promise you that the Lord Jesus always and only wants what's best for us. In his book, 6 Hours on One Friday, Max Lucado tells a story about how he bought this boat and how he survived a hurricane. And he said an old man from the sea told him one time, he said, when you take your boat out on the waters, he said, always take 4 anchors with you, one for each corner. He said, when you do that, he said, you'll survive the storm. Well, Max Lucado had the opportunity of getting his boat caught for 6 hours in a hurricane. And he said he did just that. He put those 4 anchors down, one on each side of the boat. And he said the boat held. And he said the reason it held is because he had faith in those anchors that they would hold the boat up. Now, that's childlike trust, isn't it? You know, our anchor is our faith. It says here, how important is our faith? Well, it says here, when do you find a faith strong enough to make it through storms of life? Peter knows how important faith is, and he gives us a great picture of faith and a deep anchor with the faith that's holding us in our storms of life. When Peter wrote this passage of Scripture, it was a very exciting time within the framework of the church. And you know, at that particular time, the government really wasn't much involved within the framework of the church. But as the church grew, then times came, and perilous times started to come within the framework of the church. You know, when we look at our faith, let's first look at verses 4 and 5 real quick of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Verse 4 tells us this. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. First point I want to make here today is that verses 4 and 5 talk to us about timeless faith. Now, folks, everybody has some form of faith. You know, whether we realize it or not, even an atheist has faith. Now, his faith is misguided because it's in the things of the world, and it's in his family, his friends, whatever it is. Everybody has faith. But sooner or later, folks, the storms of life will come, and your faith will be tested. Ray Bolts wrote a song many years ago called "The Anchor Holds." Folks, when the storms of life come, that's when our faith is truly tested. And you know, when I was thinking about this the other day, and when I started preparing this, my first thought was of what Brother Brett and his family right now are going through with this thing of their house, you know, getting done to it, what did, and just think how much faith it takes to not lose faith when things like this happen. Because, you know, the first thing that they could have done was think, well, why did this happen? Why me, God? You know, I'm the pastor of the church. Why me? Why did this happen to me for? You know, I've learned through all these years that, and I told Lydia this here a while back, you know, I learned a long time ago to quit questioning why God does things and just accept them for what they are. Because the quicker I accept them, the quicker I move on to the next thing. And the quicker I move on to the next thing means that hopefully I'm growing. And you know, I want to, and I think each of us in this room can say within the convictions of each of our hearts that what we want to do is really grow. We want to grow as a church. We want to grow as individuals. You know, we want to glean the scriptures and learn more about what it really takes to live the Christian life to its fullest. I like what it says here. I read this in a book that I've been reading. I was telling Brother Chester, I started reading a book by Dr. Adrian Rogers about Revelation here a couple weeks ago. And I'm just fascinated with the book of Revelation. I mean, it is just so deep and so misunderstood. And it's, you know, if you think about it, it's truly a book of faith. because it talks about what's in the future. You know, and when we look into the future, we have to extend our broad mind of faith. Because the scripture tells us, it says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has a thought entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. You know, and when we think about that, that makes us have a focus of our faith. Makes us have a focus of our faith. You know what faith really is, folks? And I forget what I said this to, but I said, you know what faith is? Faith is an action word. It is. It's an action word. If you truly express your faith, it will have actions with it. And if you don't exercise your faith, then as a born-again believer, you can't grow. It's impossible to grow if you do not exercise your faith. And that's what Peter here is telling the Christians here. This is exactly what Peter's saying. Look again in verse 4 what he tells them. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that, listen folks, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Where's our faith at, folks? It is reserved in heaven. Folks, if you put your trust in things of this earth, the scripture says that rust and moth will make it fade away. But if you put your entire trust in the kingdom of heaven, it will never be corrupted and never fade away. Because why? Because in heaven, everything is perfection, isn't it? In heaven, everything is perfection. There are no imperfections. There is no sin. There is nothing in there in heaven but pure beauty. And the greatest part about it is, it's where the Lord Jesus Christ waits for us. You know, Scripture says that he is at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. And how does he intercede for us? Because we what? Because we exercise our faith, don't we? You know, when we end our prayer, we always end it, well, how? In Jesus' name. Well, when we say that in Jesus' name, folks, what we are doing is exercising our faith. We're saying, okay, Jesus, this problem I have is no longer mine, now it's yours. Second point I want to make is our faith, because it is in heaven, our faith is uncorrupted. You've heard the phrase, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and it does. You know, a lot of leaders have started out doing things with the right intentions, but because their faith was not in the Lord Jesus Christ, those plans eventually failed. Folks, I can tell you with all assurity that at some point in your life, man will fail you. At some point in our lives, those that we trust other than the Lord Jesus Christ will fail you because we have human nature. You know, we talked about this morning in our Sunday school class. Tell you, I just love our class. There's just so much great conversation and so much wisdom in that class. A lot more wisdom than I can ever understand. Brother Chester does a great job. Did a great job this morning, you know, pointing out some things to us, you know, and it's just mind-boggling that how the more scripture you, and he talked about this, the more scripture you read, the more you become fascinated by scripture. You know, I can read a passage, or we can read a passage, and then we can think about it, and you know, you think, well, you know, when I read that, I don't remember that last time when I read that. And then when you read it again, I think, well, it means like this, but now it means something. Now, you know, it just means something different to me. It's a fact that when we express our faith and when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his forgiveness, folks, there is nothing we cannot do. Next thing is our faith in Christ is unfading. You know, it's funny. As I read this, I thought about this. Fads come and go. Just think, now of course, the older we are, the more the fads have changed. When I went to high school back in the late 60s and early 70s, they had a dress code. They don't have a dress code anymore. They need to go back to one, but they don't have one. But just, you know, those of you that are in your later years, think about what the fads were when you were growing up in the 40s and 50s. Think about how much hairstyles have changed. They've changed a lot to those of you who have hair. Mine started falling out years ago, and I just decided I'll just shave it. It's cheaper than paying a barber $10 to take 2 minutes. So you see, when fads change and things like that, hairstyles change, and I guess the thing that fascinates me the most is how much clothes and the way people dress have changed. But you know, the thing about, the point I'm trying to make here is the fact that when our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith never fades. Because when we put our trust and our faith in Him, there is absolutely nothing we cannot do that will sustain us. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, folks, I am absolutely positively no prophet, but I believe with all my heart and soul that we are living in the last days. And I think that, and I know that when God tells the Lord Jesus, okay, son, go get my kids. Folks, I'm ready. I'm ready. You know, and the scripture tells us that no man knows, not even the Son. Not even the Son knows. But you know, God has reserved a place in time. And the more we see within what is happening within the world today, the more that those of us that are born-again believers are fully convinced that time is short. Time is short. And that's why the scripture tells us that within our faith, within our faith to be tested, to be ready. Scripture says to be ready to give an answer to those that ask. You know, when was the last time any of us really talk to somebody about the Lord? You know, the hardest person to witness to, I've found, someone in your family. You know why? Because they know all of our faults. I have a brother, and I worry about him every day. I literally worry about him every day. But, we grew up together. He knows all my faults. He knows all my ins and outs. You know, he knows, it's very difficult to express things to your family members about your faith and things of that nature because they know our faults. But you know, when we trust in the Lord and allow Him to use us, sometimes just a single word is all it takes. You know, it's just a single word. You know, and when Donnie and I talk, you know, I always make sure I tell him, Bub, I love you, Bub. And then I'll just hang up. You know, I don't give him, he never says it back, but that's okay. You know, because I think, you know, he knows. And he knows where Lydia and I both stand in our faith. You know, and he doesn't question our faith, and we don't question his. Because what he does through the human of the Lord. verses 6 through 8. Now we have a tested faith, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, listen to this now, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you, I'm sure many of you probably know this, especially those of you that, those of us that are of the advanced age. I'll put it that way. Gold is very hard to perfect. When gold is refined, it's done over and over and over and over and over again until the goldsmith sees that there are absolutely positively no imperfections in it at all. Not one imperfection. It's just as clear as crystal, you can see right through it. And you know, and it takes many, many, many tries to get that gold refined and into perfection. Folks, that's exactly how faith works. That's exactly how faith works. You do it. You know, you do something and you fail at it. Okay, well, let's just restart and try it again. And then you fail again. You know, folks, Peter is telling the people, look, people, as your faith grows and as you grow in your faith, you're going to have more trials. Folks, the more trials that we have, the more our faith is tested, the stronger that bond that we get with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. He will not trust you if you don't exercise your faith, because he can't trust you. The only way he can trust you is he's got to try your faith. Look, faith has to be expressed. Faith has to be lived. Faith has to be expressed, it has to be lived, has to be shown in our lives. And the most important thing is, and what Peter's trying to tell the people here, when you express your faith, those that are not born-again believers look at you. Folks, we are a book that people read every day. That's what we are. We're a book people read. And they either read in us that we exercise our faith, that we try to live who we say we are, instead of what we want to be what we already are. And in Christ, if we are truly in Christ, then our heart's desire should be that every person that we know should want to become a born-again believer. And the way they do that is they see Christ in us, because they see us expressing our faith in Jesus Christ when the hardships of life come. And that's what Peter's telling the people here. He says here again in verse 6, wherein, look, we greatly rejoice. Now, folks, a lot of times, it's really tough to rejoice in hard times. It really is. It's hard at times to rejoice in hard times. But look what Scripture says. It says, greatly rejoice. But then it says, but for a season. Folks, I was told a long time ago, and I believe this on my heart, tough people get through tough times. If your faith is tough, and your faith is tested, and your faith is true, then folks, you're going to get right through the fire and continue on in life. You're going to continue to move forward. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold which perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What is our faith to do? Folks, it is first of all to be under praise and honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what we do and how we act around those who are not born-again believers affects what they think about us. It affects what they think about us. If our life is true with the Lord. And we're headed on the right path. And don't forget, folks, Scripture says in Matthew, it says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal salvation. But it says, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Folks, there are a lot of pitfalls in life. There are a lot of distractions. But we, as born-again believers, are to keep our hearts and our eyes and our minds upon the things of Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, in whom, in having not seen, ye love him. What Scripture tell us, folks? It says, blessed is what? Those who have not seen, but yet what? Believe. And what does that word believe have to do with us? It's about our faith. Belief is faith, isn't it? And it's what? It's faith expressed. It's faith expressed outwardly to a dying world. Though now you see him not. How many have seen Jesus Christ here in person? Nobody. But we've seen him in our heart, haven't we? And you know, we feel him within our spirit. And we know he's alive and well. You know, I once heard an old preacher say, if you want to feel what Jesus really feels like, then give him your heart. Give him completely your heart. Give him everything that you have. Let him fill you so full that you can't take no more. And he says, he said, when you feel his presence, ask for it again. You know, when I lay in bed at night, and I've got the craziest mind. I lay in bed at night thinking, you know, about heaven. And where the Scripture talks to me about, you know, it says, I hath not seen, hath not heard, all these things. And I think about, you know, the first 100 years in heaven, as we count years, and then it just starts all over again. It just, you know, it's the funny part about heaven is, folks, it'll never end. You know what, folks? It's just going to be one great time in the Lord. And I am so looking forward to it. You know, it'll be just an unbelievable feeling when we stand before the Lord and know for the guaranteed fact that our sins are forgiven and that we're a child of God and that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And folks, those of you that are here this morning, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I have a reality check for you. You're not going to heaven. Because unless your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to hell. It's that simple. Scripture says you must be born again. You must be born again. Look what it says here in verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. See, folks, in order to have salvation, you must have what? You must have faith, Matthew. Romans talks about that. The book of Romans talks about how to be saved. And it has all to do with faith. It has all to do with that action word, faith. It has to do with the fact that we as individual believers must be Christ-centered. If you are centered in Christ, then your life is complete. Peter talks about how we love Christ even though we've not seen him. In Hebrews, we have that definition. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. See, I believe, I've never seen Jesus Christ face to face, but I've seen him spiritually. And many of us, those of us that are born again believers, have not seen him physically, but we've seen him spiritually. And by seeing him spiritually, when we received him, we also received his promises. And we also received the gift of eternal life through his shed blood. Folks, the scripture tells me, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. So when Christ shed his blood, and I and those of you in like faith trusted in that, we became born-again believers through faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith, here again, folks, and I cannot emphasize this enough, our faith must and has to be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be anchored in anything else. It's got to be anchored in Christ. And when it's anchored in Christ, and you know what the best part about being anchored in Christ is? It's for all eternity. Folks, I have a big, big problem with people that think that I can lose my salvation because I can't lose it, because I didn't earn it. Ephesians tells me it was a gift. Just like a gift at Christmas time, folks. I received it, didn't earn it. You know, I didn't deserve it, but I got it. And that's exactly what salvation is. That's what faith is. Faith is a gift. Folks, it's a gift of God. You know, and each person is given a different measure of faith. And the more faith that we express out, and the more faith that we use within our Christian lives, the more he gives us. And the more he gives us, the more efficient we can be. And the more efficient we can be, the more people come to know Christ. And the more people come to know Christ, become a body of believers. That's how each of us within this foundation of Southern Missouri Baptist Church came to this church. We came by faith in Christ. And that's the only way we came. Because that's the only way you can come. You cannot, because if you come, try to come any other way, Jesus says you're a thief and a robber. So you come by faith in Christ. Folks, our faith is centered within the love of God. That's how our faith is. Verse 8. It's by faith in Christ. True faith. Verses 10 through 12. Quickly. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify them, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory should follow. Folks, the prophets of the Old Testament found their faith in God. God spoke to the prophets and told them that a Messiah was coming. He gave them a hope that the one who could deliver was on his way. The message of the prophets can be summarized in this. And I like this, what this writer talked about. He says what basically God was telling the Old Testament prophets, folks, hang on. Messiah's coming. The deliverer's coming. And I'm telling you today, as born-again believers, to hang on to your faith. Folks, because Jesus is coming. He's coming. Don't know when. Have no clue what day or time. All I know is that we are to be prepared. Because it says that one day, the groom will come. And he'll come for his church. Folks, that's us. That's us. We're the church. And this morning, although we're smaller in number, the great part is we are united in one spirit. And that spirit is the spirit of the living God. Peter points out that the true faith is not only tied to the prophets, but also to the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. It says there is faith in suffering and in the crucifixion of Jesus, and that's true. Folks, our faith is built upon the character of Jesus Christ, and it's built upon the fact that he knows exactly how to change our lives. Folks, if you're here this morning and your life needs a change, I know a man who can. I know a man who can change your life and he'll change it forever. He won't change it for just next week or the next 2 or 3 months. He'll change it for all eternity. And you know what the best part about it is? The plan is really pretty simple. You know, when you come to the realization in your life that you need a Savior, just like each of us did. You know, I came to him on an Ash Wednesday. I'll never forget it. On an Ash Wednesday in an old-fashioned Pentecostal church in a little town called Stockdale, Ohio, when I was 28 years old. I literally ran to the altar, literally just about ran. Had a big old crocodile tears in my eyes. Folks, realizing the fact that I was lost, that I had no hope within me. And the guy that led me to the Lord preached my dad's funeral. Good man. He was a good man. You know, and he very tenderly led me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And folks, let me tell you something. He changed my life forever. Changed it forever. I would have never thought 37 years later I'd be standing in front of a pulpit telling you this. But he changed my life forever. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, let me tell you something, folks. If he can change me, he can change you. You cannot, I would never even want to begin to tell you the story of my life, of the things that I'm very ashamed of. But when I came to Christ, that was all forgiven. It says that he cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. And it says also that he will remember them never again. And you know, I live every day, folks, on that promise. I live every day on the promise that Jesus Christ is real. He's in my life. And he's, you know, and each new day to me, folks, is exciting. Because I never know what God has in store for me. You know, I'm just ready for the next day. You know, I'm ready for the next experience. I'm ready for the next challenge. And what I want to leave you with this morning as a church, as us as born-again believers, I want to tell you that when your faith is challenged, have hope. I want to leave you here this morning with encouragement. Encouragement of the fact that we serve a risen Lord. That we serve a God that can. That not only can, but will. You know that every experience that we go through in life, Jesus has already experienced it. And folks, he conquered it. And why did he conquer it? Because he had faith in the Father. He had faith. And he exercised that faith. And you know what? That faith is available to all of us to trust in God when the storms of life come. To do just as Peter told the born-again believers there. When the waters of trouble come, and when despair comes, and when things come we simply can't understand, just trust. Nelson Burton Jr. is a retired bowler. He once said this phrase about bowling. He said, "Trust is a must, or your game is a bust." I say that one forward differently. In the Christian life, folks, your faith is a must or your life is a bust. If you have faith, folks, there ain't nothing you can't get through. Nothing. But if you don't exercise that faith, you'll never know it. I'm asking us as a church to exercise our faith. You know, when the storms of life come, and they will come, trust in the Lord. Trust in him with all your heart. and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. As we stand in a second for prayer, if you're here this morning and your faith, for whatever reason, has wavered a little bit, folks, talk to the Lord about it. You know, the apostles told Jesus, increase our faith. Well, guys, I can't increase it until you exercise it. You exercise it, and I'll increase it. So what I'm saying to you this morning is, if you're having some issues in your life, just, folks, hold on. God's coming. You know, the reality that Jesus Christ is alive is the greatest gift that we as a church have. It's the greatest gift that we as born-again believers have, in the fact that he's coming again for us. And what I can tell us is for each of us to be prepared. And the way you are prepared is that you're, first of all, you're prayed up. Your faith is up to standard. And your eyes are fixated on the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work at Calvary. Folks, when he said those three words, it is finished, that's what he meant. We had everything we needed to complete our salvation when he said it is finished. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have never asked him into your heart and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my prayer that you would think about this. But also that you would do more than think about this, that you would act upon it. Because when we leave this building today, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. Nor do I. All I can tell you is, if you're not a born-again believer, you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, folks, you're living on borrowed time. Each of us are. Some of us more than others. But if you know him personally as your Savior, you have a guarantee in your heart and a calmness about you that nobody can explain. The world can't understand us. It can't understand why we have such a peace in our heart about the fact that, well, you know what, I'm going to die, yeah, but look what I've got to look forward to. The world doesn't have that. And I can promise you, on the authority of what this word tells me, the world can't give it to you. You can try everything you want to try, folks, but if you're outside of Christ, you'll never be happy. You might be happy within the framework of this world, but folks, this world's going away. And when we as born-again believers leave this world, we're going to say bye-bye, because folks, we're going to heaven. We're going home to be with the Father. It's my prayer this morning that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if his Holy Spirit right now is speaking to your heart, I hope that when Brother Jason comes in a minute and leads us in a song of invitation, and one or two of our deacons, if they'll come and stand up here, please, in case we need to receive somebody, that you'll think about the fact that, you know what, I really would like to go to this place called heaven because I know I'm lost and I need Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we've presented your word in all of its beauty, all of its power, all of its love. Father, we now ask for those that are here that have never responded to the message of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit works on their lives. And Father, I pray that they would understand the fact, Lord, that they're not promised tomorrow. Lord, I don't believe in scaring people, but Father, I do believe in the reality of things in life happen. and we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So, Father, therefore, we must prepare today. Father, you tell us in the Scriptures that today is the day of salvation. Father, you tell us in the book of Revelation in 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will call upon me, I will answer him and save him." So for that one that's here that has never experienced the true knowledge and the true experience of Jesus Christ in their lives, I pray for them. Father, for us at the church, I ask that you be with us as we increase our faith in you, as we express our faith more in you. Father, we thank you for blessing us as a church. We ask that you continue to do that. We ask now, Lord, that you take control of our service. Take control of this invitation time, the response time. Father, we pray for that one that's here that needs you. Guide their heart. In the name above every name, we ask it. The name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please rise.